truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yesterday, the man who calls the Holocaust a lie.
Much of the video is too graphic to show on television. It shows beheadings, children being injured.
It doesn't smell of sulfur here anymore. It doesn't smell of sulfur.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Complete your thought. Then I'm going to have to recognize the other senator.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Yay!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we try to lay it out as clearly as we possibly can. How these things can be solved. How these problems can be analyzed. What exactly is important and what isn't important. In other words, we feel we can have a successful commercial enterprise as a talk show by talking straight to you and giving you the truth. And I don't even have to be a conservative or a liberal to do it. And we even go so far as to say the conservatives and liberals would do the whole world a big favor if they all just walked off the same short pier together. How about that?
Good, Mr. Henry.
That's right. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You can also go to our website, look at live streaming video, hear live streaming audio every night at philhenryshow.com of the show. Coming up, elementary school students are singing a pro-Obama song, and here is the problem we got with it, and here is the, we're going to play the song for you. You know what the problem is. It's not anything about the president. I don't have a problem with the president. Most of the people are going to criticize this song. They got a problem with the president. Most of the people that are going to criticize this song are criticizing the song because they don't like Obama. I'm criticizing the song because I like kids. I like kids. There's a difference between me and the average person that doesn't like the kids singing the song about Obama. The difference, as I said, is that the people that don't like kids singing songs about Obama don't like Obama and use their children as a way of making further complaint about Obama. Me, I just like kids, and I think that they ought to be allowed to be kids as long as they can be kids. And I say this on the show. I don't think children should be sexualized. I don't think it's cute to see a kid in a bikini who's under the age of 10 years old, or even if it is before 10 o'clock.
After 10 o'clock, it's all right.
No, it ain't all right after 10 o'clock either.
Well, that's what you said.
No, I didn't. I misspoke. Okay? I walked into some sniper fire once. Well, I misspoke. I walked around a sniper fire. Actually, I wasn't in the same country. So here is the story as we know it. A video from February 2009. This is right after the president was elected. Showing elementary school students learning songs praising Barack Obama for his, quote, great accomplishments, end quote, and efforts to, quote, make this country's economy number one again is generating anger from conservatives today. Well, there you have it. Is it generating anger from parents? Is it generating anger from progressive parents? Is it generating anger from liberal parents? I don't know. I don't care. In the video, students at New Jersey's B. Bernice Young Elementary School are shown singing about the president, in one case to the tune of Jesus Loves the Little Children. The video shows more than a dozen children dancing and singing a song about the president, quoting from his speeches and campaign slogans. The chorus includes the chant, Barack Hussein Obama. One verse says, he said that all must lend a hand to make this country strong again. Now, here are the lyrics that I object to, because that's not even, in my opinion, that's not even all that offensive, what I just read to you. He said we must be fair today. Equal work means equal pay. See, that's a little too political, if you ask me. Equal work means equal pay. I understand that should be a given, but it's not. There's still a contentious argument afoot in the country about the relative roles of women and men, for instance. He said that we must take a stand to make sure everyone gets a chance. That's fine. He said red, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. Now, I'm going to say something here that's probably going to piss people off. I don't know how else to say it. We talked to this lady, Diane Watson, who's an African-American congresswoman, who said to me repeatedly over and over and over again until I thought I was talking to an imbecile, and I'm pretty sure that I was. When I asked her about different aspects to President Obama's policies and plans, all she said was, he's our president, we trust him, we support him. Well, what do you think about this? He's my president, I trust him and support him. Well, can you comment on this? He's my president, I trust him and support him. She was saying this probably because she was talking to a guy that may be trying to trip her up, or she was saying it because she was sort of mindless in her support of Barack Obama. Now, I don't know whether this is an African-American thing or not. I will tell you that Obama's going to lead us. That was mostly white kids, and those were mostly white parents, and they looked really blissed out, too. However, all of the news, all of the comment about that stupid video with those kids going, you know, singing about Obama, that stuff was so prevalent, you'd think people would have gotten it through their heads. Maybe this ain't such a good idea. And I don't know whether or not the people there at this school, the Bernice school, wherever this is, read the news, are hip to what's going on. Christopher M. Mano, who's the superintendent of Burlington Township School District, where this school is located, the B. Bernice Young Elementary School, he issued a statement to parents saying the students were singing this song to honor the contributions of African Americans to our country in conjunction with February's Black History Month. Well, no, they weren't. Now, I don't have to be black to read these lyrics and tell you this ain't got nothing to do with being black. Maybe it's a prideful thing for the children to be singing about a black president. I understand that. I don't see anything in here about him being a great achiever or a man who has achieved something great because he's black. I just see things in here about his accomplishments. I see one line in here, the first black American to lead this great nation, to make this country's economy number one again, is also something that has to do with the previous administration, very political. And we stand for all Americans under the great red, white, and blue. So continue, Mr. Obama. We know you'll do the trick. It's a very positive reinforcement of Barack Obama that goes beyond just, welcome, Mr. President. Aren't you proud to be the first black president? We hope you do well. We support you. It goes on to talk about everyone being equal in his eyes, making the country strong again, like it wasn't strong before, like it's any stronger now, like that had anything to do with Barack Obama or George Bush, like there aren't other issues at work, et cetera, et cetera. These are larger questions to answer. Now, that one line there, man, really gives me the creeps. Red, white, red, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. Now, are they talking about God or are they talking about Barack Obama? It says here, Barack Hussein Obama. It's a very simple thing, and I hate to have to be the guy to say it because I support this guy. And other white folks aren't going to say it because most of the white folks that support Obama are progressives, and they probably think what you did is cool. Or, man, I'm talking out of school and I don't get it about black culture. I don't know what it is. Don't do this again, please. Knock it off and get with it, all right? And this jazz about how all are equal in his sight and he's going to make the country strong again, just back it off. Let the kids go out and get on a merry-go-round, man. Give them recess, something, anything. Now, the thing that is really disturbing about this for me, this was videoed and it was put up on some activist's website. Even people like Contessa Brewer at MSNBC, and nobody's going to mistake her for, Martha McCallum, even she was cringing when she heard this. It was first posted, other than the YouTube site where it was originally posted, on the Drudge Report and then Fox News. But originally it was up on YouTube, placed there by somebody who is an activist, who has a book called I Am Barack Obama. Charisse Carney Nunes, a Washington-based author. This is according to Michelle Malkin. So I, you know what? All this information is suspect. Michelle Malkin is Michelle Malkin's a proven liar. She's a proven liar. So I don't know what to believe, but I will tell you this much. They had a big sign that said, I am Barack Obama. This author's got her book she's pitching. You got little kids singing about this stuff. And even the President of the United States, after he heard that Obama's going to lead us video, said, get it off my website, will you? What the hell do you think I'm running here, man? A church? This ain't no church service we're having here. This is a country we're running, and we got some things we got to do. Let's keep the kids out of it. One song that the children were taught quotes directly from the spiritual Jesus Loves the Little Children, though Jesus' name is replaced with Obama's. He said, red, white, yellow, black, or whatever are equal in his sight. Barack Hussein Obama. That's Fox quoting it. Fox is once again not quoting accurately. It was red, yellow, white, or black, all are equal in his sight. Barack Obama. This is why Fox News is no longer a legitimate news site for this radio show. And I've directed my producer. I can't trust what they write. I can't trust the veracity of their sources. I can't trust when they, for instance, quote somebody like Michelle Malkin, who is has lied through her teeth before. I can't trust that any more than I would trust the Daily Kos, MoveOn.org, or The Nation. Fox News is like The Nation. And there's a very interesting poll, by the way, today saying that Fox is either the most trusted or the least trusted news gathering organization in America. And that's very telling. So basically what that means is people are very torn as to whether or not Fox is lying through their teeth, or whether Fox is simply politicizing and propagandizing stories, or whether Fox is actually doing a good job, but the people that they've hired to be commentators have so stunk the joint up, man, that nobody can take a breath of air without saying, you know, things are bad. All right, so leave the little kids alone. There's a really great idea. Let them be kids. If you want to sing a song saying that Obama, oh, all are equal in his sight, Lord have mercy, get the adults to do it. Have yourself a real fine time, man, singing that at church. Whatever you want to do, just keep the kids out of it, okay? And like I said, you ain't going to hear this from any other supporter of President Obama's because they either aren't bright enough or haven't got the guts or something's wrong with them. I don't know, man. Something is wrong, brother. 877-876.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Phil. 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back. Phil, let me tell you what I want to know about that story with those kids. Who's the jackass that was allowed in to video this thing while those children were standing there? What's the name of the guy that filmed it? Number one. Number two, who's this bitch, Charisse Nunez, I am Barack Obama? Who's this? What is her name doing there? Did she film it? Did she hire the guy that filmed it? What's it doing on a YouTube site? What's the name of her book doing in the middle of the video that is being sung by these children? Okay, I want to know that. And if anybody is concerned that I'm harping on this, I don't care. You see, this is actually caring about kids, not saying you care about them because you hate Barack Obama. I happen to like the guy. I don't like anybody using kids like this. I don't give a damn if it's an African-American school and it's part of the subcultural experience to sing spirituals of praise. When you say that all are equal in his sight, you're sending some weird message, man. Real weird. Obama would agree with me, by the way.
How do you know? He's black. He might want to say they're right.
Let me tell you something. I got news for you. And I know I'm right about it. Obama would agree with me. This is a guy, he's a politician, number one, which means he's got to know something about people, number two. He made it all the way to the presidency of the United States, so you got to know exactly where the country's at any given moment to know how to respond to particular problems. And he would agree, this is a creepy thing. So that's all I'm saying. What's the name of this website? Who's this broad that wrote this book? What's it got to do with this website? Who was allowed into the school to film this stuff? What the hell has this got to do with African American Month? I don't know. I mean, you can say we're very proud of the fact that the guy is the first black president. Fantastic, great, wonderful. But indoctrinating a kid into singing the praises of the president because all are equal in his sight, for God's sake. I mean, I thought there was a separation of church and state, man. But you see, I just sound like another ranting white man, so I get it. You know, it's okay. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. I'm just another white guy going crazy. I'm telling you that Obama's going to save us bullcrap and all that other stuff that was going on, and that Diane Watson, that clueless woman, and these people that are you know, they don't know what Obama's doing. They don't know what he's about. They don't know what he wants. They don't know what he doesn't want. But they just support him because he's cool. That ain't cool. All right. You lend credence to all of those people that say, well, the only reason he got elected is because he's black. It's touchy-feely. He's black. That's why we voted for him, because he's black. Doesn't make any difference. You can argue with those people until you're blue in the face and tell me there's a hell of a lot of white folks that voted for this guy and they didn't vote for him because he's black. They voted for him because they supported certain issues, and those Tea Party bastards have been able to co-op all the TV time because Fox is in their hip pocket, or the other way around. I'm not sure how that's working these days. So they got an entire network at their disposal, and you'd swear to God that everybody in America is opposed to the public health option. That ain't the facts. So here's another thing we can find out, as long as we've got all of this time. Number one, who is this broad that wrote the book? What's the name of the YouTube channel? Who was the teacher? And by the way, what's the latest from Real Clear Politics on whether or not the American people want a health insurance plan with a public option, or a health care reform plan with a public option? 877-876-PHIL. Here is Rob in Houston. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
I just want to tell you, I love you like a brother, man, but you're starting to remind me of Leonard DiCaprio in the Titanic, and I'd really like to see you jump on that lifeboat instead of swim for the surface. Okay, but I got a couple comments. First of all,
I don't get that, but okay.
Well, you'll find out.
What does that mean?
Later, 'cause I love you, but anyway.
I saw the movie.
Right. Well, I mean, the lady that wrote the book, she was a classmate of Barack Obama at Harvard, so they're connected. Also, there was another
song. She was a classmate of Barack Obama's, okay.
Yes. There was another song that came out today, too, and I don't know if you didn't catch that or not, but it was done to Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I can't remember the exact words, but it was something along the lines of whatever, but to, you know, coming of the Lord, but change it all to Barack and whatever.
Okay. What are you finding fault with me for? I agree with you.
No, not at all. I just wanted you to know that. No, the fault with you is that don't you find yourself, like, let's talk about another movie, instead of Adventures in Babysitting, Adventures in Presidenting, because it's like a new thing every day. You're defending the man, and I appreciate that because you're really styled.
I'm simply defending him against imbeciles. Okay. I mean, look, any president you're going to have to defend because people are always going to say something negative about the guy. If you like him, you'll defend him. If you don't, you join the chorus of voices. If I happen to like the guy and people are attacking him, I guess I'm going to be defending him.
Well, that's very honorable on your part. I want you to just...
No, it's how I feel. It's how I feel.
8 months.
It's how I feel, man. I mean, what's so hard to understand about that?
I respect that. I want you in back me up in a dark alley. But let me just give a couple things real quick. I haven't heard you talk about the poor farmers out there in the Joaquin Valley, and you're out there in California. I mean, they're talking about climate change and this and that, and they're creating a dust bowl out there, not necessarily all Barack, because they turn the water off in late last
In the
minute.
State of California, we have a drought going on, yeah, and there's right. always been an argument going back way before Barack Obama on how we use our water resources in the state of California. This argument
right
has been going on since the 1980s.
He hasn't even done anything. Well, there's water that they can pump from the canal.
Yeah, and Reagan didn't do anything, and Bush Daddy didn't do anything, and Clinton
right.
didn't do anything.
That's the change that he should try and do. But anyway, I just want to make a couple comments, and then you can either pick one to talk with me or get rid of me. But anyway, of just the Cuba thing, I'm going to say a few things real quick, and then you can pick one. But Cuba, right there, we had the gangsters down there. I mean, I'm a paisan myself. And basically they said, you know, Castro and his boys were coming, and they even talked to him. They said, look, you're going to have to pay us just like, you know, so get money from them to stay there. You can stay. They just moved on up to Miami. They said, the hell with that. So they left there. And then really, I mean, what's this, and, you know, Barack, he's got the troops over there in Afghanistan, and he should be right on that. Let's go ahead and give him all the troops. Now he's saying he had a plan in March. Now he's saying he doesn't have the plan. He needs to look at it. Meanwhile, people's lives are at stake. I mean,
Rob, you're like a lot of people. You just say a whole bunch of stuff. You're wrong about 50% of what you just said.
Well,
first of all, what he said about Afghanistan was he needed to get advice from the commanders on the ground so that they could take a look. And I know the quote exactly. Look at Afghanistan through the prism of America's overall security interests.
Okay.
And he has been taking that advice from those guys on the ground, and he is trying to formulate a plan, just as President Bush did when things were not going well in Iraq, and we began to institute what's something called the surge. And thank you very much for your call. He's doing the same thing. But because everybody is married to their ideology, they don't want to listen to this. They just want to be a liberal or a conservative, see? We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we have a story about protests breaking out in Pittsburgh at the G20 summit.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just want to do this one story. We're going to get back to your phone calls here in just a second, but I got to do this because there's a small point that I'd like to make. I realize that when I say that, I usually go on for about a half an hour. I don't mean to do that, and I will be true to my word. Just a small point that I'd like to make here. Here is a story. U.S. Senate panel backs health insurance requirement in markup session. U.S. Senate panel backs health insurance requirement in markup session. A U.S. Senate panel preparing a sweeping health care overhaul upheld a requirement on Thursday that individuals buy health insurance and rejected a proposal that could have scuttled an $80 billion White House deal with drug makers. Now, on the third day of debate on the health care reform plan, the Senate Finance Committee made slow progress, blah, 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 blah. All right, so they basically said that, yes, we're going to have this as a requirement. Now, this started a little bit of an argument here between Senator John Kyle, who's a Republican from Arizona, and Senator Max Baucus, who is the chairman of this finance committee, as Senator Kyle was making a point about the constitutionality or not of the requirement that people have health insurance. And this is what happened. Here's Senator Kyle and Senator Baucus yelling at each other.
Insurance costs too much. Health care costs too much. Let's see if we can reduce the cost. What's one of the cost drivers? Well, Senator, I pointed out a study that Senator, said that $100 billion. Mr. Chairman, let me just complete my thought here.
In about 1 minute, you'll complete your thought. Okay, we got to.
I'll complete my thought and then make another point, Mr. Chairman.
This is your delaying, Senator, and we just have to move on.
Mr. Chairman, I am not delaying. I'm making an extremely important point.
It's a very, very important point, but you're also delaying. So it's other senators have amendments they wish to offer.
Okay, so that's part one. Here is part two of these clowns.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. You'll complete your thought. Then I'm going to have to recognize another senator. In deference to courtesy, to be courteous to other senators who also...
Mr. Chairman, it's courteous if you don't interrupt somebody right in the middle of the sentence of an important point they're trying to make. I have not dominated this discussion. I have not filibustered in this markup that we've been having. I think that everything I've said has been directly on point. I'm responding directly to a point that you made. And I'll try to restate the point that I was trying to make before I was interrupted.
All right, so there you hear these two guys. And, you know, Kyle is a highly driven ideologue. Kyle is a guy, as probably Baucus is, who wouldn't change his political point of view if he was sitting, well, to use that other gentleman's analogy, if he was sitting on the bow of the Titanic as it was sinking. Neither would Baucus, probably, just to be fair. Now, we talk about the constitutionality of requiring people to have health insurance. Okay, let's take a look at this, and then I'll get to the phone calls, seriously. First of all, is it constitutional? And this is a better question, if you ask me. Is it constitutional for a health insurance company to raise my rates in order that they pay for an uninsured person? Is that constitutional? Isn't that taxation without representation? I understand that it's an insurance company doing it to me and not the Congress, but I could make that argument. I could get a whole bunch of people screaming and yelling and jumping up and down in a town hall, and I could say, is it constitutional for these bastards to be raising my premiums, even though I am healthy, I am paying my premiums on time, and I'm doing my thing here, you know? And the health insurance company would then say, well, now, wait a minute. Is it constitutional to require us to cover or otherwise make available services to people who are not insured, that we join in this effort by the government to make sure that people who are getting emergency room treatment are covered? Is that constitutional? To which the doctor may say, is it constitutional to force us to treat people without being paid for the services directly from that person Instead, I have to wait for an insurance company or the authority at the hospital or a state program of some kind to pay me. Are any of these things constitutional? Now, what we do have is the example of auto insurance that is required in the United States, state by state. And people who really think they got you on this one will always say, aha, but the difference is you have to have auto insurance so you can pay for other people who otherwise would have to suck it up if you didn't have an auto insurance. You have to cover their damages. Well, I got a big news flash there for you, Sherlock. What the hell do you think we're talking about this health insurance, this health care reform for in the first place? Because I'm sucking it up and you're sucking it up because this clown doesn't have insurance and I got to pay for him. What, are you saying that we're requiring people to have health insurance to protect you and me? Yes! It's a money game, man. It always has been. It's been a question of saving money. It's been a question of trying to stop the blood from leaving the body. It's been a question of trying to stop all of this bloodletting. All of this money that goes to healthcare approaching 20%, that's one-fifth of the GDP, we got to stop the bleeding. You don't think it's because we feel so marvelous about all of these folks that don't have health insurance, do you? Well, I that's how I feel. Well, good, that's one of you. I don't. Let me tell you something. If the American people all were of one mind today and said there will be no health reform, and anybody that walks into a doctor's office and can't pay is thrown out on his ass. Anyone that walks into an emergency room, no matter how dead they are, including kids, can't pay. They get their ass thrown out. And we're all agreed. And the insurance companies, if they raise your rates, they have to have a legitimate reason. They have to tell you why they're raising your rates. And it has to have something to do with, you know, your own personal health, your own personal situation. If everybody was agreed, hell, I'd be for that in a second. I'd be for it in a nanosecond, man, even faster, a New York minute. But that ain't the facts, man. That'll never be the facts. That just will never be the case. We're going to treat kids, and we want to make sure that people don't die on the floor in the emergency room, so we got to have some kind of a way to offset the cost so that you and me and the rest of us with health insurance are not getting our asses handed to us every time we get a bill. Now, you make that argument to the guy who says he's got you on that car insurance thing, and he'll just disagree. No. These people want to have insurance because of the... No, that ain't the case, man. We never would have gotten into this discussion were it not for the fact, and I think the president's made this point over and over and over and over again. People don't want to hear it because it probably makes too much sense. This is about money. This is about an enormous chunk of GDP that's going to something that doesn't have to be that expensive. Plain and simple. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Visit us online at philhendryshow.com. Let's go over here to a caller in Boston. It's Mary. Boston, Mary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How are you doing tonight? What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. I'm
Hi.
A teacher. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. Nice. I love your show. It's not very often I get to call in because it's kind of late for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm just weighing in on the whole the Obama song, the kids singing the song. And I'm all about kids being patriotic and stuff, but, like, the thing I worry about, because, you know, I've been a teacher for a while. My mom was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. You know, we haven't had songs being sang about former presidents ever. This is the first time we've heard about this, like, you know, praising Obama, the whole Obama, like, mm-hmm. Messiah factor. And I just think it's
that's weird. Yeah.
Top. It's a little bit of the top.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
strange.
That's,
so,
are you black? Are you African-American?
No. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Okay. I just wondered because I wondered if it was a subcultural thing among black people that I ain't getting, you know, and maybe the words may mean something different. I'm willing to say that in the open and say that honestly.
Okay.
I don't know if in the black community they may sing a line of a song that means something completely different than it does
right.
to me.
Well,
I mean,
look,
I don't,
Kennedy
that sounds
was the first
odd.
Irish American ever, right, in office. Were they singing like Irish American like presidential songs when he was in office?
Well, I think it's completely different. The Irish experience in America is different from the black experience.
Well, not
so
really.
So I don't think you can compare them.
Yeah. History,
what do you mean,
like,
not really? You mean just one was enslaved and the other wasn't, but other than that,
well,
other than
I mean,
that small difference, you know,
huge,
it's.
But no, there's a huge debate about slavery. I mean, it's happened all over the world for centuries, and so.
No, there's not a huge debate about slavery in America.
Well, in America, it's been predominant, but in the world, it's just been, it's been.
Well, we're talking about America.
All right. Well, you know.
So the difference between the Irish experience in America and the black experience in America, in my opinion, is enormous.
It's been hard for everyone that's come here as an immigrant. So,
No. It's never been as hard for people who came here as it was for black people.
No, I understand.
It's never been as difficult. It's never been as difficult for immigrants in this country as it has been for black people. That's my opinion, but that's after looking at the history. And when you speak of the Irish, Mary, are you Irish?
No, I'm a little bit Irish, but not much. I mean,
I'm Irish. And I think the history of yeah, forget about being an Indian. I hate Indians. I'm kidding.
I'm
joking.
I hate American Indians.
Now, yeah. I don't want to get into a discussion of the Irish and Indians. What the hell? We were talking about what? You're a teacher, and you don't want kids being used to do the.
I agree with you. Okay, great. Right. He's president. Right. Why don't we just sing songs about him?
Exactly. Thank you very much. I agree with you. 877-876.
Why'd you hang up on her? She's going to talk about being an Indian.
What's that got to do with anything, man? I got sidetracked with this discussion of Indians and the Irish. I love the American Indian. I think they're great. I think they belong on a reservation. I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding around. You know I am. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Jessa in San Antonio, Texas. Jessa, what's going on tonight?
Hi. Well, I'm not quite sure if we're talking about the YouTube thing or...
Yeah, we're talking about anything you want to talk. We're talking about anything you want to talk about. I bring my stuff up. You guys bring your stuff.
I do think that the Black American experience or African American experience is completely different, but I was actually kind of interested in the comments about the health care reform.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have kind of, well, a very unique experience, kind of, I guess, ground level. I had brain surgery when I was 24 years old and accumulated over $100,000 in medical bills that I then got reduced like to over $6,000. But the point being that I didn't have insurance at the time. So I would have come out of there, and had I not written like tons of, you know, hardship letters, had over $100,000 of inescapable debt just piled on top of student loans, which would have added to, you know, the overall picture. And I just think that people need to realize that we're all in this together, you know, and people aren't seeing that. And it's just like more of this every man for himself. And
See, here's the argument to make, though, Jessa, and I'm sorry that you didn't have insurance. I want to make it, I agree that we should make it a law that you have insurance. Now, here's the argument to make, and I'm very sorry for the experience that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
But more to the point, that $100,000 of medical bills that you accumulated and couldn't pay had to be absorbed by other people with insurance.
Absolutely. No,
and so you make this argument. So, yeah. And you say, look, I had $100,000. Do you know that you clowns had to pay for that? Because I didn't have insurance. Why didn't you have insurance?
Exactly.
Well, I didn't have insurance,
that's
you know.
Why I think everybody needs to have it now. It's a basic human right. It's an absolute.
I've got an interesting poll here, Jessa. And now this is in August, NBC did a poll of Americans. 47%, a plurality, opposed the public plan versus 43% who supported it in August. September the 23rd, the CBS New York Times poll, 65% now favor a public option, 28% oppose it. The argument that there is a enormous upsurge of people just crazy and against the public option is not true, according to these polls. Even the NBC poll does not show an enormous opposition to it. We're not getting the news. We're not getting the information.
They're putting
all of the Tea Party people on TV. Yeah. Jessa, thank you. I got to take a break. Thank you. I got to hand it to you, Tea Party people, man. You got, you know what? I misspoke. Fox doesn't have you in their pocket. You got them in your pocket. I guess it depends on who's wearing the pants, you know?
Yeah. If you got on pants, say you're Fox and you have on pants, and I know it, man. He's trying to explain it.
Yeah, let me explain it, okay? What do you mean if you have on pants?
If you're Fox, are you wearing pants?
Does it look like I'm wearing pants? Yes.
All right. If you're Fox and you have pants, I forget what I was going to say.
Let me say it, okay? Fox has got them in their pocket. I mean, Fox has got them in his pocket. I'm going to kill somebody.
You messed it up.
Think about it, man. You got a break coming up. All right, 877-87. Yeah, I'll think about it. I got a break coming up. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Jessa made a great point. There's a young lady who had a lot of bills, man. Am I sitting here and am I saying a poor Jessa, she had to pay 100 grand? I'm saying, and she agrees with me, poor the rest of us. We had to pay. That's okay with some people, I guess. It's when Congress tells you got to pay. That's what gets them crazy, huh? 877-876-PHIL coming back. Protesters at the G8 in Pittsburgh not making any sense as usual. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You got on pants, right?
Never mind my pants.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, as of Friday, September the 18th, 56% of voters nationwide now oppose the health care reform proposed by President Obama and congressional Democrats. That's the highest level of opposition yet measured and includes 44% who are strongly opposed. 43% now favor the proposal, including 24% who strongly favor it. Overall, the picture is one of stability. While the numbers have bounced a bit following nationally televised appearances by the president to promote the plan, opposition has generally stayed above 50% since early July. Support has been in the low 40s. The number who strongly opposed the plan has remained above 40%, and the strongly favored totals have been in the mid-20s. All right, now this suggests public opinion is hardening when it comes to the plan that is currently working its way through Congress. Now that is Rasmussen. That's a poll that I trust. NBC and now I got one here from the New York Times and CBS. 30% mostly support Obama's proposed health care changes. 23% mostly opposed, 46% don't know. That's the New York Times and CBS. I don't trust them. Why? Because they're ideological. They are editorially slanted. And I'd love to believe their poll. I'd love to. I choose to believe Rasmussen because this guy is in the business of polling, okay? He's not in the business of doing a newspaper and doing a TV station and doing a broadcast. Oh, and by the way, let's be pollsters too. Now, these numbers have changed a little bit, but it depends on who you're looking at. And this is something that you guys have to understand. If you want to look at polling numbers and you want to pick and choose, then good for you. You may not be somebody interested in truth. You just may be interested in winning an argument. NBC in August said 47% opposed the public plan, 43% supported it. The public option now, see? And then on September the 23rd, CBS, 65% favored the public option, 26% opposed that. That was September the 23rd. On September the 23rd, now, what's the date today?
Today's the 24th.
Today's the 24th. CBS, New York Times, 30% mostly support Obama's proposed health care plan, 23% mostly oppose, 46% don't. The New York Times and CBS want me to take them seriously about anything? I'd rather take the Rasmussen poll and then break it down, because I believe this is probably accurate. 56% oppose, 43% support. That's the Rasmussen number. And I'll go back to what I said last month and the month before. Last month was August. The month before was July. Before everybody went out on recess, before the Democrats made garbage out of the public relations push for this thing, before the Democrats started pushing Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, and every other rotten advocate that you can think of for the president's plan out to speak to the American people. Do you honestly think the American people want to hear from Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid on the health care plan? You got to get some people out there with credibility. Those people haven't had credibility for years. So I believe these numbers, and I blame in part the rotten, stinking job the Democrats, including President Obama's chief of staff and everybody associated with that clown, doing the worst possible job they could, trying to get people to understand what this plan means. 877-876-PHIL. Back, Hugo Chavez. What a big mouth. We'll talk about him.
Phil Hendry.